Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing as we begin this lesson today. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Sabbath day. Thank you that we can come together here today to hear from your word and to be encouraged as we prepare for a new week. Bless us, I pray, this hour to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Our scripture reading for today, Matthew 24. I've been quite interested in the book of Matthew, Matthew 24, especially lately, concerning the time in which we live. I think we've shared and talked and had Bible study and prayer meetings together where we've looked at Matthew 24 and seen the signs of the times and the times which we live. And Matthew 24, we went through with our during prayer meeting or Bible study, midweek service here, and as well I've been and working with the other churches and going through this, and it's been quite rewarding for me in my personal study. But Matthew 24 is about being ready, isn't it? It's about being prepared. It's about being ready for the second coming of Jesus. He gives us these signs so that we can be ready. He gives us these signs so that we can know, you know, to be ready and to what to watch for, so that when we see them, we can be prepared in our own hearts and our lives and, of course, in our minds as well. Now, Matthew 24 wraps up with this, and this is our scripture reading for today. Matthew 24 in verse 44. Again, I believe this is a summary of the entire chapter, why God gave us the signs, why he gives us, you know, the parables, why he tells us, you know, to do this or to do that, or to look around and be aware. Verse 44, he says, "Therefore be ye also ready." That's the highlight of Matthew 24. Now you continue on here in verse 44, he says, "For in such an hour as you think, the Son of Man does what? The Son of Man comes." So when we least expect it, that's when Jesus is coming. But we don't have to be surprised. We don't have to be left in suspense. That's why the book of Matthew, Matthew 24, was written, so that the people of God can be ready for the hour of Christ's coming. But he's going to still come when we're unaware. And then notice here he says in verse 45, "How then can you and I, as Christians, how can we be ready?" You know, we are a doing people. We always think that we must do something in order to get ready. I must make my life right. I must quit doing this and start doing this. You know, it's kind of a black and white scenario in our lives. Do this, don't do that, and we think we're doing okay. But Christ gives us a summary here of what we need to be doing in order to be ready. How many of you want to be ready today? I think all of us want to be ready for the coming of Jesus. How can we know that we are ready? That is a question that we need to ask for ourselves. Are you ready for the coming of Jesus? How do you know that you are ready for the coming of Jesus? Notice here he says in verse 45, the sermon title today is, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" The faithful servant. The faithful and wise servant. Now Jesus summarizes all of Matthew 24 into this: as a wise and faithful servant. Now, he's beginning to answer the question for us of how to be ready. How to be ready is to be a faithful and wise servant. And how is this so? Notice in verse 45, "Whom then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his" what? Over his household. All right? He made him rule over his household to give them meat in due season. Now, there's a couple of things here. The Lord has given you and I the responsibility to take care of his house. What do you say? We're all, you know, priests of God. We're all ministers for the sake of God. We are to feed those that are hungry. We are to feed the poor and so forth. Not only with temporal food, but with the spiritual food of the Word of God. So a servant is the one who serves the Lord, who takes care of the business of God. What do you say? You and I are called to be servants of the Lord. That's the good news here. Now, being ready, here's the question. Here's the answer to the question of being ready. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so what? Shall find so doing. Now, let's pause there for a moment, and let's discover today the definition of a servant. Point number one, a servant is one who gives himself up to another's, to those, I'm sorry, A servant is one who gives himself up to another's will, to those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing the cause among men. In other words, a servant is one who serves God and glorifies Christ by helping in extending in the advancing of the gospel. A servant also, number two, is one who is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. All right. So the biblical example, this word servant here that we're looking in Matthew 24, two examples. One who is in the business of serving God and blessing his fellow man. And so number two, and then finally, the service of being a servant to our fellow man. In other words, uplifting others before yourself. That's the message of the servant. Now, Jesus says in verse 46, "Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, finds so doing." So how can we be ready? We can be ready by being a servant in this world. What do you say? In other words, you and I are servants of the King. You and I are servants to each other. We are a servant to one another. And when we are servants to others, we are glorifying, guess who? Jesus Christ. That's the good news. So how can we be ready? Being a servant. That's how Jesus begins to summarize Matthew chapter 24. Going on here, it says in verse 47, "Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his" what? "Over all of his goods." Now, a servant becomes a ruler. Now I want you to go back with me for just a moment, and we're going to go back to the Genesis account. Not the creation, but the story of Joseph. We have a good example here of a man who became a servant. You remember what happened to Joseph? I mean, Joseph and his brothers, you know, the brothers were jealous of Joseph. He had the robe of many colors, and, you know, his father, you know, blessed him and loved him and cared for him. And so the people, his brothers and his relatives, were jealous of him. And finally, his brothers became so envious, they threw him into a pit, and one thought, hey, let's leave him to die. The other one said, no, let's preserve his life. You know, we don't want his blood on our shoulders. And then a caravan came that were going to Egypt, and they made a decision that they would sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, and they would spare his life so they wouldn't have the guilt of his death on their head. Well, the rest of the story, as you will, is history. Joseph goes into the land of Egypt, and there he becomes a servant or a slave to Potiphar. Now, Joseph served to the best of his ability. And as Joseph served, as he was a servant to Potiphar, Potiphar blessed him over and over and over again until finally Joseph became a ruler of Potiphar's household, if you will. And then, of course, you know, Satan tried to deter Joseph by bringing a temptation that would lead him astray from the Lord. And Joseph stood firm. He said, how can I sin against God? Then he's thrown into prison. And then once again, as he's in the prison account, the Bible is very clear that Joseph served to the best of his ability. And he became a servant and then finally a ruler in the prison house. And from there, of course, the story continues that Joseph, in his service in the prison house, he went from a prisoner, a servant in the prison house, to being one of the head leaders of all of Egypt. So, blessings to those who are servants of the Most High. What do you say? God is helping us and teaching us the example of servitude here so that we can later become rulers of his household. So, salvation is dependent much upon your life as a servant. How do we be ready? We're ready by becoming and being a servant. What does that mean for you and I? A servant, again, is one who esteems another person better than himself. Jesus summarized this for us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Jesus summarized the servant life in these couple of verses here. He says this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. What did Jesus do here? He summarized the Ten Commandment law in these two principles. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. And second, to love your neighbor as what? As yourself. The first half of the Ten Commandments has to do with the law pertaining to God. In other words, thou shalt not have any other gods. Keep the seventh-day Sabbath and so forth. These laws are pertinent to our relationship with God. And if you think about it, it's about service. We are a servant of the Most High. Secondly, we have our service that's responsible to mankind. And this law, the second half of the law of the Ten Commandments is summarized in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. In other words, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness and so forth. These all have to do with our relationship with humanity. The first half with our relationship with God. The second half in our relationship with the humankind around us. And if you think about it and you put it into its context, it's very clear then that as servants, we are servant of the Most High. We are servants of the Lord. Thus, by becoming a servant for Jesus Christ and a servant to mankind, we thus fulfill the law of the commandments, the Ten Commandments in our lives. But just by becoming a servant. That's good news. Why? The reason is because we don't have to worry whether or not we're keeping the law. We don't have to go about and go, am I doing this? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? If we are serving Jesus, if we are serving our fellow man, we're esteeming God and we're esteeming humanity greater than ourselves, we're going to want to do what Jesus asks us to do. It's that simple. Did not Jesus give us the example to follow in his footsteps? What did Jesus do? Did he come to be served? Absolutely not. Christ came to serve, thus leaving us an example. And of course, what is the greatest example of servitude that Christ has given to us to perpetuate until the coming, or until his second coming? It's the service of the ordinance of foot washing and the ordinance of taking of the wine and the bread. What is foot washing all about? It's about service to mankind. We are not greater than our brother or sister, but we're esteeming each other. What a better world this place would be if we would live the servant life. You see, the servant life is not about me, it's about the other. When the person comes over to my house, I give them the best place in my house. When they come over to my house, I give them the best goods out of my refrigerator, whatever. You know, being a servant is about service to the other person. So then, we have a couple of things. The law is summed up in servitude. And then finally, as being a servant, we can have the assurance of being ready when Jesus comes again, just by becoming a servant. Looking back here in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew again, 24, I lost my place here, just give me a moment. Matthew 24, and we're going to begin summarizing these verses here. Verse 47, verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over his goods. Verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 47. So a servant who first of all starts out as a servant over his household, verse 45, later in verse 47, then becomes a ruler. So we must first learn to be a servant before we can become a ruler. What do you say? We must learn to serve others before we can be blessed with many goods. What is the challenge of having riches and pleasures of this life? If we're not careful, we'll begin to serve ourselves. It was the downfall of King David. It was the downfall of King Solomon. It was the downfall of much of the life of Saul, King Saul. The goods that they had, the wealth that they have, if they would just have used it to the blessing of others, they would have maintained their quality of leadership. And so it is with us today. By learning to become a servant, we thus learn how to become a ruler. Jesus did the same thing. He walked on this earth. He was a servant while he was on this earth, so much so that he gave his life for you. He gave his life for me so that we can have eternal life. And now Jesus sits as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, in verse 48, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his what? His coming. You know, many of us are like that. Let's wait until the Sunday law, then I'm going to get into action. Let's wait until I see these signs or these wonders, and then I'll get back into the church, you know. It's like we almost reserve our place in the pew just in case the time comes that I can bounce back into the spot. Friends, be careful of that attitude. We need to be a servant day in and day out. Our life is exacted by our service to God on a regular basis, not when it's convenient to us. Notice this in verse 48. My Lord delays His coming. Oh, it's just off a few years from now. Or it's just down the road a bit. You know, be careful with that kind of thinking. We need to be ready today. Ready every single day of our lives. Not anticipating signs or wonders before we make a decision. Verse 49. And He shall begin to smite His fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Now, if you look at this in context now, Jesus has used these words prior to coming to the servant summary. Notice what He says in verse 38 in reference to the time of Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking. All right? If you go back to verse 49, it says, during that time, He says, If he say that the Lord delays His coming, He shall begin to smite His fellow servants to eat and drink with the what? The drunken. What do we know about what happens to the drunken? The drunken are lost, aren't they? So a servant who changes his attitude and begins to do what? Serve himself rather than providing meat to others falls into the category of those people in the time of Noah. Verse 38 again. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, verse 39, knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So in other words, if we are not careful, we can continue in this life and say, the Lord delays His coming. But in the moment that we are unexpected, the Lord will come. And as the Bible says here, it took them away. We could be lost with those wicked servants. Be careful, friends, to say that the Lord delays His coming. The hour of judgment is when? Right now. The day of salvation is when? It's right now. Not tomorrow. It's today. Verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware. So friends, being a servant is the summary of being ready. It summarizes all that Jesus was trying to exemplify in Matthew 24 about being ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. How can we be ready? By becoming a servant to mankind. By becoming a servant to Christ. Friends, don't you want to become that servant for Jesus? Don't you want to be that servant for Christ? Why? Because Jesus died so that you can have eternal life. Friends, the only way to salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone, right? And thus, Jesus tells us that we must live His example, and by living His example, we can have eternal life. And the example that Christ lived while He was walking on planet Earth was a servant to all humanity. Friends, we must learn the attitude. We must accept the responsibility of being a slave and a servant to Christ. When we thus do so, we can be ready when the day Jesus comes through the clouds of heaven. What do you say? Will you be ready for that day? May you be a servant that Christ finds doing when He comes. He's asking you to be a servant. Will you take that responsibility today? Will you forget self and allow Jesus to fill you? Will you forget your life and allow Jesus to consume you? Will you forget self and esteem others and presenting and sharing the gospel to others? Friends, what a different world this place would be if we had a people and if we had a church that was more like this on a regular basis. A servant to the other person. When we are a servant to the Lord, we thus fulfill the plan that Jesus has for us. And then we can be ready for His soon return. Being ready means being a servant. I appeal to you today to come to the foot of the cross, to look into the eyes of Jesus, to accept His sacrifice, and to follow in His footprints, and allow Jesus to be fulfilled in your life so that you can bring others to Christ. I invite you today to bow your heads with me as we have a word of prayer. And if it's in your heart today to give up something that you have been selfish with, whatever it is. If it's something in your life that you've been holding on to, or you feel like, Lord, I just don't want to do. Whatever God may be calling you to do in this life. If you are a person that maybe have been serving self for too long, you know, you're worried about yourself rather than that of others, or concerned about the welfare of God's house, or concerned about the welfare of God's call for your life, I want you to consider today to lay your heart, your life, your mind at the foot of the cross and allow Jesus to help you to become the servant. You know, Jesus stood up and he took himself the cloth. He put it over his arms, he girded himself, and he went and he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus was the primary example, the exemplified example of what a servant is. Today I appeal to your hearts to allow Jesus to make you that servant. Why? So when he comes, he will find you doing. And thus, finding you doing, you will fulfill his law. You will become more like Jesus. And as you become more like Christ, you can be assured of your salvation. Now today, I believe that we're going to have the newsletter, and the newsletter has the outline of this sermon today. I really want you to ponder this. Read it over as you look at the newsletter. Study it for yourself, what it means to be a servant. Friends, get that in your mind and allow again Christ to become you, your all in all. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you, Jesus, for giving us your life so that we can have eternal life. Thank you for making us servants in this world. As we are a servant for you and a servant to mankind, as we consent, Lord, to give our wills over to you and to be to lead others to you and to care for the welfare of others more than ourselves, we will accomplish and fulfill the law, and also too we will be ready for your soon return. I guess, Lord, it summarizes in this that we will be known by our fruits. Help us today, Lord, to take on the attitude of a servant, to prepare us, Lord, for your coming, so that we can become rulers in your household. Thank you, dear Jesus, for the promise of your return and the hope of salvation. Bless us this hour in Jesus' name. Amen.